The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Very welcome, very pleasant welcome to the day. It is Wednesday. It's just hard to believe it's only Wednesday after what has been going on since late Saturday into early Sunday. But welcome. Let's get going. And there is quite a bit to talk about. Yeah, the college football playoff reveal getting us ready for the weekend. Michigan is up to number two after its huge win at home over Ohio State. And that's where we are with, of course, Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, and Cincinnati. How much will it all change this weekend? That's what we're here to talk about. That was just one of the many stories making the rounds. As some of you may have seen earlier today, Brian Kelly formally introduced as the LSU head football coach. Quite a press conference down on the bayou.
This is so much about alignment. And for me, alignment relative to this university, the goals, what is in store for LSU athletics as a university, that is what the draw is for me. And certainly the opportunity to be here amongst the finest players, staff, coaches, being part of the SEC, an incredible challenge and opportunity in my life that I was excited to take on once I was able to meet Scott, spend time with Scott, hear his vision for the university, and see how it connected so much with mine.
Let me caution some of you people who may be snoozing on the couch. If you had one eye open and you saw Brian Kelly say it's so great to be a part of the SEC, let me remind you, Notre Dame's not part of the SEC. Brian Kelly is now at LSU. I didn't want to give anybody a heart attack who was nodding off after a good lunch. Anyway, let's continue with some more headlines. Anyway, Georgia. They must figure out a way to stop Will Anderson. Well, good luck. Nobody has stopped him all year. Maybe the Dogs will be the first. And the Tide is confident in Trey Sanders as Brian Robinson and others are dealing with injuries as they get ready to face the Dogs on Saturday. Bama is an underdog. And you have to go back, really, other than the Georgia game in 2015 and the one this weekend, the 09 game was the last time Alabama had been an underdog, and we know what happened there. They ended the reign of Tim Tebow. Georgia was an underdog against LSU, won that game. That was against Les Miles. Nick Saban, his first SEC appearance, championship appearance, he was an underdog against Phil Fulmer in Tennessee. A Tennessee team had to win to go to the national championship. They did not. And do you remember who the coaches were in the 1999 SEC championship game? Steve Spurrier on the Florida side, Mike Dubose. And the final Jeopardy question is, which Alabama coach beat Steve Spurrier twice in the same season? The answer is, who was Mike Dubose? Yeah, it won't be easy, though. Fewest points allowed in conference play in the last 25 years. The Miami team of 01, many consider that to be one of the greats of all time. LSU and Alabama, that was the same year. You wonder why they had a 9-6 game when they were both only giving up 8.4 a game. So, of course, just a reminder, we will be there Friday, a cast of thousands, literally. Sharing with you all the excitement that game usually brings. And this is certainly one of the biggest SEC championship games ever. We'd almost have to go back to those games that we mentioned a minute ago in 08 and 09. Heather, joining us from Texas, is today going to be the day the CFP expands? Brian Kelly, yes, that is correct. He will join us at the 4 o'clock hour. Ryan Shazier will join us, former Pittsburgh player, Ohio State linebacker. Alyssa, Drea, and John Talty on all the coaching craziness and what could be next. And your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. Let's get going in a hurry here, and David starts us all off. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. I watched that press conference, and I'm sure you did.
What'd you think?
Well, I hadn't seen that much selling and that long a press conference with that much emphasis on athletics since Joab Thomas introduced Bill Curry.
And I remember that one.
And they passed on Bobby Bowden.
Yeah, you know, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Joab Thomas who said the days when Alabama will be known only as a football factory are over.
Exactly. And Joab was cleaning Bunsen burners at the biology department after hiring Bill Curry. Oh, didn't work out.
But no, it sure didn't.
Never too long press conference.
I think all press conferences are too long. It doesn't matter how long they last.
Well, they introduced Nick Saban, Mal Moore did, with about six words. He said, I'd like to introduce the next.
He sure did.
Next head football coach of the Crimson Tide, Nick Saban. And that was it. And it worked out pretty well.
Well, I'll never forget that day. Saban laid out his blueprint, and he delivered.
He delivered. And Brian Kelly's a good guy, and I'm sure he's a good coach. Oh, and he'll bring success to LSU, but he is going to have his hands full in the SEC.
Yeah, well, and listen, we'll talk to him in an hour. I suspect, I haven't talked to Coach Kelly this season, but I suspect he knows what he's getting into.
Oh, I suspect he did. But I wondered about the constant reference to alignment. And I don't know if he ever asked the athletic director, could we just peek at the check?
I don't know about you, David, but for that kind of money, I would pretty much say whatever they asked me to say. Hey, good to have you on. Thank you very, very much for the trip down memory lane. Mitch is in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Uncle Paul.
How are you?
I am well. Now, I have to start off with this selfishness that I got to ask, and then I do have a football question. Are you driving to Atlanta?
No.
You would say that. I was going to offer for you to stop by and have lunch or maybe breakfast here in Spartanburg.
Well, I appreciate
that.
I would have been happy to. And there will come a time here as the season winds down that I'll be heading past your house.
Yeah, and you'll keep on going, too.
No. I mean, in fairness, I have not driven. What's the name of that highway, 85 or whatever?
85.
Okay. I have not driven that way in a long time. Every once in a while I will. So you will know.
Okay.
You will know.
Okay. This question is two-part. Okay. In your opinion, of the three major colleges that have hired, which university has come out ahead? And the flip side of that, because it can be a different answer, which coach came out ahead?
Well, I think the two big – thanks, Mitch. I think both coaches have come out ahead this week. I think Lincoln Riley has left where he wanted to, where he wanted to go, and I think Brian Kelly was just ready to leave Notre Dame. We'll take a short break. We are coming back with much much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome you back. We're heading out to Texas in a few minutes and find out whether the college football playoff committee has decided to expand or not. I thought they did already. I don't know. It seems like everything that happened prior to July has been lost in space. Let's grab a few calls here. Stacy is in the ATL. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you for asking.
All right. So, in reference to Brian Kelly, congratulations to him. He's going to find out why the SEC is the greatest conference in college football. He's going to find that out. He should already know, but he's going to find that out now coaching in the SEC. But what I really wanted to talk about was this Alabama and Auburn thing. Alabama is going to bring his A game. Georgia is going to bring his A game. And I'm sick and tired of hearing about Georgia's going to do this and Georgia's going to do that. When you got Nick Saban as your head coach, I'm telling you, I'm sure he's going to pull some things out of some hats.
Well, Stacey, let me ask you a question, because we can agree. We all think he's a great coach. But what do you think Nick Saban is going to pull out that we haven't seen this year?
I think he's going to make some adjustments.
Okay, where would he make the first adjustment offensively on the offensive line?
Probably the right tackle. The right tackle.
Could he go to the waiver wire and maybe pick up somebody?
Well, you know how Alabama is, Paul. We always got somebody waiting.
Stacey, I'm in total agreement. I lived there for more than 30 years, but I'm really curious on what he's going to do. Let's come back to that in a minute. We're heading to Texas. Heather Dinich, nice enough to join us. Heather, it seems like you've been standing in front of that thing all day long. I hope you've had lunch. Great to have you on. And tell us what has been going on out there all day.
Well, Paul, the commissioners are here. Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick is not, because he had to stay back in South Bend and take care of some more important issues and try to find a coach. I'm told from sources that he is meeting with defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman today. But here inside these closed doors, the commissioners are talking about playoff expansion. I think they're going to break soon. And you know what, Paul? I am not optimistic that they are going to come out today and say that the playoff is expanding to 12. I'll be surprised, but college football fans might have to wait some more. They might kick this down the road again.
Heather, earlier today when we were together via television, you felt like maybe something would give, although you issued the caveat that you just got through talking about. What is stopping them from gathering together, coalescing, and making an agreement? Or who is stopping them?
Well, so there are a couple things. One, going into this meeting, I know that they were going to talk about automatic qualifiers. There was some support in the room for 5 Power 5 teams getting automatic bids plus 1 Group of 5 conference champion. There was some staunch opposition to that. American Athletic Conference Commissioner Mike Oresko told Ralph Russo from the AP in November that he would not vote for that, and there could be more support on his side for that. Remember, it takes one person to derail this. They're trying to get 11 people to agree on something. They do agree that a more inclusive system would benefit college football, but can they get to 12 is the question, or are they going to stay at 4 through 2025? We might have an answer on that one way or another here in a couple of minutes. But the other problem, Paul, is that I've been told that they don't necessarily have all the information that they need on the bowl contracts. They do not want to violate any existing agreements, and there's some hesitancy to go any further before they are absolutely 100% sure that they're not going to violate any contractual agreements.
Heather, just for those who may have been visiting in outer space and missed our conversations in late spring, this same group, not the same group, but a working group from this group did agree, and most people said it was a good idea, did they not, that the college football playoff was expanding to 12 schools?
Yes. They did. Along the way, there was certainly support for 8. There are some people in the room who would still vote for 8. But the bottom line is that there's not enough support for it. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey has said repeatedly, either 4 or 12. We can go either way, nowhere in between. And again, it takes one person to say no, and this can't go forward. So I'm very eager to see what exactly the holdup is, if there is one. I'm a little bit surprised that they're breaking around 2:30 Central Time here, but I do know that a lot of them have flights they have to get to. Will they meet before the national championship, after it? I'm not sure. January 10th in Indianapolis is when the presidents who comprise the board of managers meet on an annual basis. They will be there in person. Look, I'm telling you from talking to people in the room, they are tired of this, which is why it's just astounding that they can't seem to figure it out. And they know that if they don't figure it out, they're going to get crushed for it, because they open the bag and you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. And on June 10th, 12-team playoff was made public, and we've been talking about it ever since.
Heather, get back to work. I know you want to catch these people as they're racing to get their flights. And we will get a report back from you later on. Thank you so much. Heather Dinich live at DFW. Yeah, I mean, nothing's more important when the college football playoff hangs in the balance than making sure you catch your flight at the airport. Maybe they should have started the meeting earlier today. I don't know. I guess you got to get the the workout in at the Ritz. You got to get the spa treatment, the facial, the pedicure, and then go to the meeting. Mike is up next. Hello, Mike. Go right ahead. Mike, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Are you talking to me?
I am, yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear a beep. Curious if you got any kind of lead on who Auburn's offensive coordinator may end up being, and if you think there was any chance or any, if there would be any interest in Dan Mullen.
Mike, I have not heard a lot of names. John Talty will join us later on. That's pretty much in his domain. I still don't have a good handle on what Dan Mullen wants to do. I've heard some conflicting stories that he's done with coaching. He might try TV. He may do something else. I think when you're still this close to losing your job, you're probably doing a lot of soul searching, walking in the woods, talking to your family, talking to friends. And trying to figure it all out. But I'd be surprised to see Dan Mullen as an offensive coordinator in the SEC. Maybe in pro football, just to give him something new to experiment with that could open the door for future possibilities. But thank you for the call.
Thank you very, very much.
Mike in Houston, you're on the air. Hello, Mike.
Paul, I think I'd like to speculate for a second, and you can actually ask Brian Kelly later today, but I think one of the reasons he left is because of the Notre Dame nonsense and the fact that they believe they're too good for a conference. What would Brian Kelly be doing this weekend if he were still at Notre Dame?
Good question.
He'd be sitting at home. And the fate of his team is not in their control. They need somebody else to win, somebody else to lose. High achievers like to control as much as they possibly can. And I think that was a big factor that really no one's addressed thus far.
I tend to agree with you on that. And I don't know how he feels. I know I've talked to his boss a few times about that. It's no longer really germane, but you know, it is hurting this year's Notre Dame team. I think they would be in a much better position. But that's an age-old debate with Notre Dame. And you know, last year it paid off. This year it costs them. Let's take a break. More to come. More phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back, and Coach Kelly will join us in the next hour. We look forward to visiting with him from Baton Rouge. Now, let's continue now with your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and let's check out Randy in Texas. Hey, Randy, good afternoon.
Hey, Apostle Paul, how you doing this afternoon?
Very well, thank you.
Well, I'm just wondering why everybody's so worried that Brian Kelly, thank God we got a coach, that Brian Kelly is lost, like he don't know what's fixing to happen in the SEC. He knows what's going on. He ain't no dummy.
Well, it's also, this guy is coming from Notre Dame. It's not like he's showing up here from a junior college in North Dakota. He understands big-time football.
Yes, he does, and the reason he came to LSU so he can win a national championship. And I think his hands were tied so much in Notre Dame, he couldn't do what he wanted to. And he'll have that luxury at LSU.
He will.
But you have safe travels this weekend. Be careful.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad you mentioned that because it really I know – we like to think of ourselves down here as, you know, standalone, and the record does support that to a degree. But you know, I mean, Brian Kelly has been the head coach at Notre Dame for 12 years. He's played everyone in the country, including he's beaten LSU a couple of times. He's played Georgia. He's played Alabama a couple of times. I mean, this guy's played everyone in college football. He's played for the national championship. He's been in the playoffs. So I think he's pretty aware of what happened, of how it works. And yeah, does he know every high school coach in Louisiana? Of course not. How could he? But he knows coaches everywhere in the country, and he's obviously in high demand. We will talk to him in 25 minutes. Let's continue with Scott, who is in Mississippi. Hello, Scott.
Howdy-toddy.
Howdy-toddy.
How you doing, Paul?
Doing well,
hey,
thank you.
I was wanting to talk to you about what's the deal with everybody wanting Lane to leave Ole Miss. And my thing is, hey, he can stay there till he retires and make Ole Miss, someone to be looked at and reckoned with every year.
Yeah, I mean, LSU is a top 10 team. That's a not an often event. I don't know. I think we all tend to think Lane Kiffin is looking over his shoulder for a new frontier, even though he's only been at Ole Miss for 2 years. This should be the time of his career. He just got through best season he's ever had. He beat his rival for the second straight year. and he's going to a major bowl game. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Jake is in Atlanta. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Paul. First-time caller, and I got two quick comments, and I'll let you think about it.
Thank you.
And Desmond Howard is the only person I've heard say that it's going to be a different scenario for for Kelly to come down here into the Southeastern Conference to recruit. Notre Dame in the past, if they wanted any player, all they said is Notre Dame wants you, and they go. That's not going to happen here. You're going to have multiple coaches trying to recruit these players. And the other comment is about the Alabama game. Alabama has five-star players, yes, and they have problems on the offensive line. However, I don't expect them to win, but it would not surprise me if they wear them out.
Jake, first of all, I didn't hear what Desmond Howard said, but Brian Kelly got a top defensive player from Georgia. He's gotten players out of Louisiana. And frankly, if you're a good coach in Louisiana, you're going to get most of the top players in that state, which are plentiful. And then you just need to compete in a couple of other areas. Recruiting is a national sport now. Everybody's recruiting nationally. This is no longer a time when Notre Dame could go into Chicago and get any player it wanted, or Philadelphia or Boston or New York. Everybody's going after the same players. And, you know, there are some people that grow up wanting to play at Notre Dame, just like there are a million young kids in Louisiana who grow up wanting to play in Tiger Stadium. I think the problem for LSU, especially with Les Miles, was that he was having a hard time keeping the players in the state. He was losing those players to Nick Saban and others. I think Ogeron has done a better job of that. But I don't think it's all – I mean, you've got to be a screwball, which Les was, to lose top players from down there else to go elsewhere. Let's check in with CJ in Virginia. Hello, CJ.
Hey, Paul. Great to talk to you. I'm real excited. I've got several points I just wanted to talk about here. Very excited. I saw the press conference today. He looked really sharp. I like the way he talked about the process and habits. If he's exactly what LSU needs and what I had mentioned before, what I talked about, what LSU needs, and we'll compete immediately for national championship under him. It's like it take 3 to 4 years. Could be more like 2 to 3. I mean, he's so advanced aware, say, like Nick Saban was when he first went to Alabama. I don't know where to begin here. People make some of the comments I heard from yesterday, like, oh, yeah, he's older. He's old, this and that. He's only 3 years older than Saban was when he took over at Bama. You know, just like Bryce Young's, I think, 1 inch taller than Stetson Bennett. That's another thing that was brought up yesterday. But another thing I liked that he said at the press conference was he doesn't worry about his legacy. He was asked about his legacy at Notre Dame. And he just gave a I don't worry about my leg. And I love that. I love it. You know, I always think that's kind of weak when people worry about, oh, what people go say, you know. I mean, who do people think they are? Abraham Lincoln here or something? I mean, it's like he's more concerned about, you know, being a good coach in the moment.
Well, CJ, how many people really have legacies anyway?
I mean, exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I love it. But I think he's a great fit. And I think people say, oh, he's a good fit in the culture. He's going to elevate the best of the culture in South Louisiana. The whole idea about him recruiting, he's a great recruiter. And the idea that someone like a Coach Ogeron that speaks with a Cajun accent, sit down with a bowl of gumbo, and, you know, these elite athletes saying, oh, I want to go play for him because of that. No, they're thinking about their NFL future, what that could mean. That kind of thing. I love he talked about, you know, the process, the winning process. And again, him fitting in with the culture. I mean, when Nick Saban first came to LSU, he had barely just above 500 record in Michigan State. Someone from up north, he was pretty stoic. He fit in quite well once he started winning championships. So, and I got some other news, like some of the Alabama fans I've heard calling on the show. You know, they talk about, they're used to the Brian Kelly on the sideline at Notre Dame. The Brian Kelly on the sideline at LSU now is going to be much different, okay? The increase in the talent of the players is going to be tenfold, LSU right now, I mean, we were one catch away from beating Bama at Bama. I think one catch away, as bad as LSU is, as uncoached, unorganized as we are.
CJ, they just got through beating Texas A&M at home with a beaten down roster. They've got players there. They just haven't had the organization at the top of the football chain. Les Miles, let's be honest. He was a buffoon, okay? I don't know. I'm trying to be as charitable as I can be. And Ed Ogeron was not a head coach. He was a great motivator. He was a really good recruiter. He's a good position coach, but the head coaching part of it was his biggest challenge. And I'm aware of what he did 2 years ago. We all are. But Brian Kelly is the whole package. Whether that works, I don't know. We'll find out. But in terms of bringing somebody in there with a track record, he's better than the last two guys they've had in there since Nick Saban. Let's take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls and Brian Kelly right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back here, middle of the week, and Andre is calling next. Good afternoon, Andre.
Tiger, listen, if he can recruit and if he can win, he'll be fine down in Baton Rouge. Listen, when Les Miles was there, he let some of the best talent leave out of the state, like Cam Williams and Eddie Lacy and Cam Robinson them. So if he can recruit the state of Louisiana and Texas, especially around the Houston area, hey, man, he'll be fine down in Baton Rouge. He's more businesslike, more buttoned up. And, hey, man, that's what we need. And I don't care if the man from the moon, as long as he can win some games down there. And if he wins games, those people over there in Louisiana will love him and put a statue of him outside of right there by Mike the Tiger's house. In front of the stadium. So, hey, Coach, thanks for taking my call. Have a good day.
Andre, thank you very much. Your voice sounds about as rough as mine. Gene is up next in Texas. Hello, Gene.
Yeah, hey, I just want to make a real, real quick comment. I've listened to the TV all morning. I'm a little under the weather, and I've heard Kelly talk about this reason for leaving and that reason for leaving Notre Dame. And then I sat here and I thought about it a while, and I realized, why don't they just tell it the way it really is? Because all of what has gone on since the day Oklahoma and Texas decided to do what ESPN wanted them to do, Brian Kelly's leaving Notre Dame because they're paying him $9.5 million a year. If I'd call Brian Kelly up today and say, come coach the Lumberton Red Raiders high school team, I'll pay you $12, he'd be moving to Texas. It's money. It's all about money at every level, at everything. And you listen to the television, and it's this reason and that reason, but it's all about money. It's not about the game. It's not about the kids. It's not about the conferences. It's not about the bowls. It's all about TV, and it's all about money. And that's all I want to say.
Dino is up next in Phoenix. Hello, Dino.
Hey, Paul, where you at, baby?
We're doing great.
Man,
thank
look.
You.
Man, look, I'm on cloud nine. I really am. I'm so happy that they got Brian Kelly. But I'm also happy for the SEC. I'm happy Lane stayed at Ole Miss, Jimbo's at Texas A&M, Nick's at Alabama. We got we got a wonderful conference. We got competition. But I believe that this guy is going to be the answer. I thought O was the answer at the in 2019. But I think this man is sharp, man. This man is going to be able to recruit. I hope he recruits Louisiana well. I believe he will. I think we got bright, bright days ahead for LSU. And if I could tell you to tell Brian Kelly when you talk to him one thing, and I'm sure he's heard this before, I'm sure it's been said before, and I've told you before this. When you go back to an old Tiger like me, 66 years old, went to my first game in 1962 against Ole Miss, I don't want a coach that goes in there to recruit that just says, come to LSU, we're gonna compete. I want him to tell the recruits, we're going to dominate. We want to beat Alabama every year. That's what every Louisianan thinks. That's what they believe. That's what they want. We don't want to be dominated by Alabama anymore. We want to be able to beat Alabama for a string of 10 years, just like they've been beating us during the Bryant era and during the Saban era. You tell us to recruit from Louisiana, and we're going to commit to it. We're going to do it. That's what I would tell a recruit when I go there. And I'm sure that's what they told him, what Scott Woodward told him behind closed doors. You know, I can say it because I'm nobody. But I want a coach that's going to go in there and compete and say, we're going to compete for a national championship every year, and we want to beat Alabama every year.
Dino, thank you. Jim is up next in California. Hey, Jim, go right ahead.
Paul, I'm a big Tiger fan. I am absolutely elated with the decision to bring Brian Kelly on. Kind of knocked me from left field like a lot of people. Unfortunately, I live in California, and why I say that is because I got to deal with all these yahoos that think the Pac-12 is on the way back because of Lincoln Riley. Maybe USC is on the way back. But if you could go ahead, because I put a little action on this with some of my friends out here. If you would go ahead and just please tell these yahoos out here that Brian Kelly will win a national championship at LSU long before Lincoln Riley does at USC.
Well, you're right. First of all, he's a better coach. And I have respect for Lincoln Riley, but he's 38 years old, and he inherited a tailor-made program that was already a top 10 thing. And he, you know, he developed a couple of quarterbacks, but he's yet to finish the job. He's yet to be able to do anything more than get to the playoffs and, with one exception, get blown out. And I think LSU is much better suited. I mean, this was a terrible year for LSU. And they beat Texas A&M, and they nearly beat Alabama. And you know, the mistakes were all over the place at the beginning of the year, and I blame the coach for that. But ultimately, with an adult in charge, I think this program is coming back very fast.
I appreciate that. And my last question was, do you think that with the off-the-field allegations and whatnot that Coach O obviously fumbled with, do you think that I kind of look at Brian Kelly, and I don't know too much about the man, obviously his coaching record and everything like that, but he seems like a pretty, you know, buttoned up, straight laced guy. Do you think that was also a factor in in him coming
to
LSU?
I think that's one thing I think a lot of people missed. This program needs class. It needs integrity because it may be going through some tough times, at least with these lawsuits. I don't know how much deeper they'll go than that. I don't think the NCAA is a factor here, at least in football. And you needed a representative of your program that you could be proud of. And I don't mean to disparage Ed Orgeron, but, you know, it's apparent that some things got through the cracks down there that should have never happened off the field. We know Les Miles was ultimately responsible for that. We just don't know to the degree that or the periphery that Orgeron stood on. Anyway, we have to go to a break. We'll talk to the head coach at LSU in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.